Hi, I'm Megan Hillica, a grieving mother turned grief coach. I now support, guide, and offer tools to navigate the unthinkable of child loss to other moms who also know this pain. I help you go from empty, lost, and broken to learning to carry your grief and live alongside it. If there's one thing I want you to see, it's hope. Hope that there's life after loss. Hope that there's so much more for you. And encouragement that you're normal. All of this is possible, along with never forgetting or moving on from your baby or child. I'm holding on to hope for you until you are ready to hold it yourself. Welcome to Grieving Moms Podcast. Welcome to another episode on Grieving Moms Podcast. Today, I have a really special guest, Ashley Aho, who is going to share her experience with child loss. And I just want to welcome you here, Ashley. Thank you for taking the time and welcome to Grieving Moms Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So can you just share with my listeners, who is Ashley and how did you come to know grief?
Okay, so I'm Ashley. I have 5 children. 2 of them live in heaven and 3 live here on earth with us. We lost our second child to a drowning accident when she was 14 months old. And I was 34 weeks pregnant with our third child. So that is our first experience with that kind of grief. Then 5 weeks later, I lost my little sister. Then I had my baby. And then about a year and a half after that, I lost another little girl through miscarriage. So that was another form of grief. So that's kind of how I've come to know grief. Those are my, I don't know if you want me to elaborate on the drowning experience or anything, but.
It is a lot of layers. I think you can share whatever you want to. I think a thing that we a lot of times don't realize is how quickly, death can come into our family. And how it always feels like it happens to other people. Like that doesn't happen to our family. Maybe we have worries about it. Maybe we have anxieties about it or fears, but it doesn't actually happen.
Right.
What was your experience with that? And how did you even come to terms, I say with air quotes, into accepting that this did happen to your family?
Oh boy. I don't know. I don't know if I have an answer exactly for that question, but I always like to say, because you kind of get treated differently by a lot of people after it happens to you. They don't know how to treat you. You're not a regular person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you've experienced this grief. And I just like to tell them, 1 second, I was totally normal, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next second, I was totally normal, just like you, but my baby was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it didn't change us because it does change us, but we're still just normal people. It does just happen to regular old people. It's not just something you hear about or watch in movies. Yeah. I don't know about I don't know about coming to terms with it. It just happens and you just have to, it's just there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you feel like people in your life, I always felt like I had this big, huge sign on my forehead that said, my baby died. Don't talk to me. That's what it wasn't that I didn't want people to talk to me, but that's how I felt everybody looked at me. And I was like, it could be very much my own perception, but that's how I felt people treated me. And I don't know, what has your experience been like with that?
I guess I almost feel opposite. I almost wanted to put a sign on my head saying my baby died, because I remember just a couple days after I went to town, after she had died, I went to town with one of my sister-in-laws and we were just, getting some stuff for the funeral and whatever. And she took me to get my eyebrows waxed, and kind of seems like a weird thing to do right after. Mm-hmm. But we went and the lady doing it, she was so stinking happy. And normally I would be that's awesome. But I was just what is wrong with her? Doesn't she just know that my baby died?
Mm-hmm.
And she was just, how's your day? How? And I was like, oh, it's, you know, not very good. Like, I was pretty honest, but I didn't, you know, sit there and like pour my heart out to her, but I was just like, oh, you know, not good. And she's like, oh yeah, you know, we have those days. And she just going on and on. And I was like, just on the verge of tears the whole time. And I could not wait to get out of there. And I'm like, man, if she could just know, because I didn't really want to tell her, but you know, I don't want to like make it seem like I'm looking for a bunch of sympathy, but I just wanted her to like tone it down on the happy. So I guess I almost feel the opposite, maybe a little bit. Like, I just kind of wish everybody just knew. And then even now, like meeting people, we just moved to Texas. Well, I guess not just anymore. It was like 6 months ago, but we don't really know hardly anybody here. And so I've just been meeting a lot of people, and to just completely meet people out of the blue that have no idea about anything or your background. And, you know, you start like getting close with them, and then it's like, okay, how do I break this to them? Mm-hmm. Or do I just, you know, let them figure it out on their own, or what? It's just kind of an awkward, I kind of just wish they knew.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I guess the more, when I was talking about it, I was thinking like when I'm with people that I know, that I don't know super well, but they know me. I guess that's when I felt like I had a big sign on my forehead that people know who I am. They know that my baby died, but they don't want to talk to me. So that, I guess that's what I'm referring to, but I totally get. Now it'd be very hard to like, how do you bring up this subject with people that don't know the story? You know? Like, how do you broach that? So I kind of want to go back to when Camry died. Did you have, because I had seen on your Instagram, you had shared the story of her death. And I'm just wondering if you want to share a little bit about that, or like, what did you have trauma from that? Did you feel like you carried trauma from it or not? Because I just find it fascinating. I had PTSD after my daughter Aria died. And how some of us go through the death of our child and don't experience trauma, and some of us do. And so I'm just curious what your experience has been.
Okay, so I would say initially I didn't feel like I really had trauma. I mean, it was, you know, the immediate shock of it, like that numbing kind of stuff that you get. But I didn't feel like I really had trauma at the beginning. And I had dealt with, so for my first two, after I'd had them, I had dealt with like postpartum depression and stuff pretty bad. And so losing Camry and then being 6 weeks away from my due date, I was so nervous for that. I thought for sure I'm going to have like all this PPD stuff and it's going to be a nightmare. So I was like super proactive about it and, you know, taking things for it. And I got my placenta encapsulated and all these things. Cause I was like, I'm not dealing with that. And my midwife was like super on top of me about, you know, asking if I was okay and stuff. So I was really nervous for it, and I had him, and it was like the most amazing. I mean, I didn't have any. I never had to take my placenta capsules. Thank goodness. Wow. and I didn't have like any postpartum depression, nothing. But I've also never had that many people praying for me at once. So that was for sure huge. I mean, we could like physically feel the prayers carrying us. So yeah, I would say initially I didn't feel like I had any trauma, but later down the road, it was actually probably a few months after that, it was so weird. I was just cleaning my house and I went into my pantry. There's a window in our pantry and there's blinds, and like, we never ever open those blinds. Pretty much the only time that I had looked through those blinds was when my husband was grabbing Camry out of the pond in front of our house. And so I was cleaning and I went in the pantry and I opened those blinds a little bit to start cleaning them. And I just like fell to the ground. Like, I could not breathe. And I still don't know to this day, like anxiety attack, panic attack. I don't know what, some kind of attack. I'd never, ever dealt with that before. And, I was just like, my sister was there and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't breathe. I'm just freaking out. And I took this Young Living supplement that I have and it went away. But I dealt with that a couple times after. And it was just, weird little things that would trigger it. Like, I never thought that I had trauma until then. I was like, whoa, okay, there's stuff. And then on her birthday after she died and on like her memorial day, things like that, like a couple weeks leading up to it, I'd get really, really sick, or I'd have still to this day, like 5 years later, right before her birthday or memorial, I'll have like ribs pop out.
Oh.
So like physical things happen to me, and it's really, and it's always like the same things I know. And I've gone to naturopaths and stuff that have connected it to grief, you know, because that's really the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there is like those kind of, I guess, those kind of traumas. There's nothing like emotionally traumatizing that sticks out to me, but yeah, like physical, you know, physical trauma.
Well, it's fascinating that trauma, I really believe trauma is like an experience within our bodies that we don't really have control over. Like when you're saying that you looked out the window and all of a sudden you're on the floor and you don't know what's going on with you. Like that is our bodies just reacting. We have no control over that. And when we are able to process the trauma and heal trauma, then like it's not as prevalent. But like, yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. I think it's so helpful for people to know that like they're not going crazy.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like there's, it's not like they're broken. It's a part of their experience. And
yeah,
it's not fun and you don't wish it on anybody, but.
No. And that's what talking about it helps a lot too, because I remember that first time, like when her birthday was coming around and I had all those things happening and I went to my friend, she had lost her son a year before, and I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what is wrong with me. Like I have all these issues. And she said, I bet it's your grief coming out. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? I don't even feel sad. You know, I'm not crying. And she's like, exactly.
That's why it's coming out in your body.
I was like, it's coming out. And she said her husband deals with it physically like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. I think it's really fascinating how many times we get sick, like after, like when you're grieving and you don't always connect that. All the emotions and all the weight and everything that you feel can make you sick. But we don't always realize that. Mm-hmm. So how has your grief journey changed over the years? You said it's been 5 years.
Yep.
How would you, I know it's so hard in just, you know, a few minutes to like, there's so many layers to grief. There's so many layers to your whole journey. But if you can just try to describe what has changed for you. And how do you feel like your grief journey is today?
I would say that it's definitely a lot. And I'll say this too, if anybody ends up listening to this that is like newly in grief, this is something that I hated hearing, but now I'm saying it.
Yeah.
And lots of people told me like that had experienced child loss, oh, like it will get easier. You know, it will get better. It will get easier. And I was like, ugh, how could you say that? Like, you just forget about your kid. It doesn't feel like, I don't want this, you know, you want the pain to go away, but you don't, because it maybe means, you know, it feels like it means it doesn't, you don't care anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. So I was just like, oh, stop saying that. How could you say that? But here I am. And it gets better. I mean, you still have days where you're knocked right back to when it happened, you know, and it's, feels fresh grief, but for the most part it really is better and easier. And I think like just through my grief journey, I have really strived to find like joy in anything that I can, and like look at the benefits of it, not, you know, all of the like, oh, I don't get her here with me anymore, all of like the sad stuff about it. And not saying that, you know, those thoughts don't creep up and you don't think about that stuff sometimes, but just not just wallowing in it, you know, you feel it and then you push forward. But yeah, I don't know. That's,
I love that you share that, because I think so often I know exactly what you're talking about when, you know, new to grief, that you're like, what do you mean this gets better? I'm not like, there's no better life than the life that I had them here. Like that would be betraying them if I were to start to find any sort of joy or anything. But I always like to say that it's like you carry grief and you carry joy. It's not like you're getting rid of your grief, but it like comes and goes. And it's like there's longer periods between when right. your grief comes up and then you have joy in that periods, you know, where it's not so heavy.
Right. No. And I had a few people message me like, well, a couple people messaged me right after, and then people messaged me way after and just say, you know, how Camry's life impacted them and how like it, my post, you know, for the first year, I wrote a post like every month
mm-hmm.
of just like what I was feeling, what I was going through and whatever. I'd write it on Facebook and it was kind of like, I don't journal. And so it was kind of my journal.
Mm-hmm.
And I had people message and just say like, you know, those that's, it's made me, you know, look into faith, like search God, like search for God and that kind of stuff. And I was just like, wow. Okay. If Camry dying saves one person's soul, that is worth it right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's like right there. That's worth it for me. And that made it so much, I don't know. That just made it so much easier for me right there because I know where she is. And then to know that, you know, it could help other people get there too.
Yeah. No, it's so interesting how we all have, like, I've heard many times people say, like, well, there is no gift from the death of, you know, my child or baby or, and I always say, like, you don't have to look for the gift if you don't want to, but there are always things
yeah.
that you can, if you want to, you can choose to find the good. Doesn't mean that, you know, the pain isn't there, but you can choose to look for the joy if you
yep.
want to.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing that. I have a few spots open for one-on-one grief coaching. If you are a grieving mother and you feel stuck where you're at, maybe you are back to day-to-day life. Maybe you are feeling like you're trying to get your feet underneath you, but you don't feel like you have any life inside of you. You feel numb, empty, like you have to put on a mask every day to just get through every day. You're just surviving, just trying to survive every single day, and you don't feel like you're thriving. So often I have grieving mothers tell me, I am carrying so much guilt and I feel stuck in it. I have so much anger and I don't know what to do with it. And I ask them, do you want to continue living this way? Every single mother I talk to says, no, I don't want to keep living this way. I didn't choose this. Why would I want to keep living this way? But I'm telling you, friend, you don't have to keep living this way. Right now, it doesn't feel like you have a choice. And right now, it feels like you're stuck there, like it's a part of you, like there's no other option. But I know how to help you through this. I know how to help guide you through this. I have coached many grieving mothers just like you who are carrying overwhelming guilt, anger, or sadness, and they don't know how to move forward. You can say that you don't want to continue to feel a certain way, but there's a different level of deciding that you are going to do something about it. If you are ready to change your life and actually take the steps to change your life and stop living in the deep guilt, anger, or sadness, then one-on-one grief coaching is for you. If you want to learn more about it, message me at hello@meganhillica.com for more details. I only have a few spots open, so if you want it, you better message me really quick and I can give you all the details. Again, that's hello@meganhillica, MEGANHILLUKKA.com. You were saying that you've had a kind of similar story to me with pregnancy after loss, just with your son being born after Camry died. But do you want to share what your experience with pregnancy after loss with Capri and what was your pregnancy like in comparison to, you know, your previous pregnancies without that experience
of
child loss?
Yeah. So my first three, I got pregnant with really quickly. I got pregnant with my first, like, on my wedding night. And then I got pregnant with Camry when my first was 3 months old. And then I got pregnant when she was 6 months old. So it was just kind of bam, bam, bam. And I was young and I was in a different country because I came from Canada. All my family's in Canada. I wasn't allowed to go back for quite a few years due to paperwork and stuff. And so I was just kind of like consumed with being overwhelmed and stuck and, you know, the hard life of having almost three kids under two.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just kind of my pregnancy with Cruz. I was like very, very, I was thankful for my children, but I was kind of, I was just overwhelmed. I was like a little bit just dreading what my life was going to be with, like with these, you know, three kids. And I was just like, oh, it's so much. And then Camry died and I was terrified to have Cruz. I like didn't, even as I was pushing him out, I just kept saying to my husband, I'm like, I don't know why God didn't take him instead. Or, you know, I am not ready for, like, I don't want him to come out. I just want him to stay in there. Like, I don't think I can love another baby. I don't want him out here.
Mm-hmm.
And the second he came out, like that changed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the best thing that kind of happened to us. And then, so that's kind of how the last bit of that pregnancy went. I went, I think, did I go 5 days overdue with him? And I remember everybody was like, oh, you're probably so ready. And I was like, no.
Nope, not yet.
I'll stay pregnant for 100 more years. Like, I'm not ready. So that's kind of how that pregnancy went. And then my next pregnancy, I carried her to 13 weeks. And that pregnancy was kind of, I don't know if I was like ready or not. I was kind of, it was like a year, a little bit over a year after. And I didn't feel totally ready, but I, at the same time I was, because I had gotten pregnant so quickly with the first three that I felt like it was so long since I had had a baby, because it was a little bit over a year after. And yeah, there was just kind of mixed emotions with that. And then I lost her and I had like so much guilt kind of for not feeling 100% ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that she was a girl, I was just like, okay, God, like, are you never going to let me have a girl?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause my other two are boys. And so then it took me, I had a lot of like back issues and stuff. And I went to naturopaths and they were saying that I was having infertility issues after that. And by huge, huge, huge unexpected miracle, we ended up pregnant with Capri. And I bawled like a baby when I found out, because I was so terrified. I was bedridden. My husband was carrying me to the bathroom because my back was so bad I couldn't get up. And so I was terrified in that sense. And then terrified to lose her. Mm-hmm. And, but also so, so excited because I didn't know if I could get pregnant again. So it was just like the craziest. I was just bawling, and my husband's like, well, are you happy or not? And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm kind of both.
Yeah, I was like, I have like every single feeling you could imagine. And so for the first bit of pregnancy, I mean, I was a little bit terrified because I had experienced that miscarriage. And then once we found out she was a girl, we went and we took the kids to ultrasound and we went in and the lady said it was a girl. And I thought like, okay, I'm going to hold it together till I leave, you know, when she tells me whether it's a boy or a girl. And she says, it's a girl. And I started about like ugly crying. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, I literally can't do any, I can't control this at all. Like, it was just coming out and I was like crying out loud. And she was trying to figure out if I was happy or sad.
You weren't quite sure yourself too?
Yeah. No, I mean, I was so, so excited that it was a girl. And I was just like, I'm so sorry. Like, we've lost two girls and this is just, and she was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, she was so, so sweet about it. But, after that, so that was like around 20 weeks after that, I feel like my pregnancy was really good and I was really excited. The only thing that was like a little bit hard about it is my oldest son, he would say, once we found out it was a girl, he was like, well, does she have to go to heaven too? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. That's like all he knows is his sister's all going to heaven. And so that was really hard. But no, I'd say for the, you know, once we got past like the first trimester and a little bit more and then found out she was a girl, it was just awesome. And I was really excited. And then we had a really good labor and birth and really good after with her, and she was a good baby. And yeah, we were just super blessed with all of that. But
it's so fascinating. I think I didn't know that it was possible to have so many emotions at one, like one moment. Yep. Until I, you know, our daughter died. Like, I didn't know, because I remember going to my therapist and being like, well, I'm not sure. I feel like I'm feeling sad, but I'm also feeling happy, and I'm feeling, and he's like, and I was thinking I should be one or the other, you know, and he's like, but what about if you could be both? I'm like, oh, is that possible? I didn't know that.
Yep.
So I just want to ask you, did you have, how old is Capri right now, and how old was Camry when she died?
Capri will be 2 in about a week and a half. Camry was just over 14 months.
Okay, so was that like a weird experience when she got to be Camry's age for you?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I would almost say even more a little bit after that, once she like passed that age a little bit more, it was a little bit harder because Camry had like a lot of hair and she just seemed a lot older than she was. So when Capri hit Camry's age, she still seemed a lot younger.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was preparing myself, and then it wasn't so bad. But like a few months after that, when she did seem a lot like Camry's age, that was a little bit harder. Yeah, it was just, I don't know, I felt a little bit probably extra protective. Like, I really try not coddle my kids. Like, I'm pretty, let them be pretty independent and probably a little bit too crazy. but yeah, I think I was a little bit paranoid that we would lose her. And same thing with Cruz. I mean, when Cruz passed her age or was at her age, that was kind of hard too. It was just,
yeah. It's so interesting. It's like, it's almost like deja vu. And then you're like, oh, this is what they, you know, would have been like if they would have lived, you know, like once, like Aria wasn't walking. And then for my next kids to be walking, be like, oh, yeah, she would have walked, you know, like it's just,
yeah.
And it's so, it's all those bittersweet, like they're happy. You're so happy you have them. Or for me, anyway, so happy I have them. But then it just, so many reminders, you know. They're not here
too. Yeah, I remember asking, so that friend that I had talked about earlier that was telling me her husband deals with it physically too, I kind of looked to her for, you know, she was a year ahead of me in grief, and I kind of looked to her for every little milestone, you know, like what is the first birthday going to be like, what is the first memorial going to be like, what, you know, what's Christmas going to be like, all these things. And she kind of prepped me, like we grieved pretty similar in the beginning, so it was really nice to have her as kind of a crutch, you know. I just kept asking her, and the one thing she didn't hit, the one milestone she didn't hit before me was that her child passing, you know, passing her other child's age.
Yeah.
Or hitting that age. So she dealt with that later on, but I remember just like texting her, calling her, and I'm like, what do I do? And she's like, I don't know. I haven't dealt with that yet. And I'm like, what? I have to figure this out by myself?
I'm used to you telling me what's going to happen or what I do.
So that, I felt kind of alone, but I mean, it was good too. I had to realize that it was like a thing that I had to deal with between myself and God. Like, I didn't have my friend to lean on for that. Still, like we said, finding good things in the bad, it was a good thing, even though I was kind of freaking out in the moment.
But. Yeah, it's so amazing to have that friend that you had, that you have to like talk with and know that you're not going crazy. That is a beautiful thing. Do you want to share a favorite memory that you have of Camry?
Yeah, I got a couple little ones. I have this picture of her. It's my screensaver, but she would come running into our room every morning, and she was a pretty grumpy little girl. It was kind of hard to get her to smile, but every morning she would come into our room and she'd smile, and she'd have her, you know, she was always like just in her diapy, and she had her pink bear, and she'd come and crawl in bed with us, and that was probably one of my favorites. And then one of my favorite memories of her now, which was like my worst nightmare when she was alive,
mm-hmm.
was keeping her hair out of her face. I was like always going nuts trying to keep her hair out of her face. She had so much hair, and it was always just in her face, and she loved it in her face, and she hated getting her hair done, and she just looked like a ragamuffin all the time. And I remember just complaining about it all the time, and it's like something that I miss so much. And yeah, it's like one of my favorite memories now. And then she'd always, her and Creo, my oldest boy, they would always like blow on my big, huge pregnant belly. And I have a couple of videos of that, and we always share them with Cruz because he's sometimes sad that he never got to meet her. So we're like, look, she was giving you kisses.
That's so special. That's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you for sharing those memories. It's so fun to bring up those memories. Just because they're not here doesn't mean you don't have those special memories of them, of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. I want to dive into, I have some questions I call cultivating compassion questions at the end. So I want to dive into those now. What is one thing you could offer to someone who is struggling and feels really alone in their pain?
My biggest thing would be prayer, and just to remember that you aren't alone, even if you're feeling alone. And the more you talk about it, the less alone you will feel, because more people will, you know, if you're being, I know that's not everybody's personality type, but the more you're like keeping it in and keeping it to yourself, the more alone you're going to feel. I mean, if you're talking about it and more people hear about it and know about it, you're going to get more people like, oh, me too, you know, I dealt with that too. Or I know somebody that I can connect you with that dealt with that too, you know, and you start to not feel so alone. So that's kind of my prayer. And then remembering that you really aren't alone.
Yeah. Which feels so hard when you're in so much pain. Like you know, when you're, I know that it feels so hard, but you're never alone. There are so many people who have also walked this path.
Yeah.
What is one book that has encouraged you and helped you?
So I am not really a book person. I don't really read. But apart from the Bible, I would say there's this book called Healing Oils of the Bible. And it just connects a lot of like the physical ailments from trauma to like, and teaches you, you know, how to deal with that and heal from it, and basically just explains how you're not crazy.
Okay.
Dealing with these things. So it's not really like it is a book, but I think you were looking more for like books that you sit down and read.
Well, it's fine if that's a book that, or whatever, you know, a resource that has helped you.
Yeah. So that would be mine, but yeah, I'm not much of a reader, so I don't have a ton of.
What is one thing that you've learned through this experience?
Yes. One thing would be that, like we kind of talked about already, it doesn't have to be a bad experience. You can make it good. You can have it impact other people's lives. You can help other people with your experience instead of just, you know, keeping it this bad experience that you have to deal with all by yourself. You can use it for good. So that's one thing I've learned. And I don't know if I learned this so much or just realized it so more. I feel like I kind of always knew it, but just realized it even more so is just how much we need Jesus and how he can just carry us through all of it. And he really will like take on all of those burdens for you if you let him, which is a lot easier said than done sometimes because we're human. So we kind of want to hold on to it a little bit, whether we think we do or not. But just giving it all over to him. Like he will carry it all if you let him. So
I love those. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate every conversation I have where someone else is being vulnerable and sharing their story, because by sharing your story, you are helping others. So I want to thank you for sharing your story. How can people connect with you and follow you on your journey?
So I'm happy to talk to anybody that wants to reach out. They can follow me on Instagram. I don't know if you're adding that to this. Or
yep.
Should I say it?
You can say it, and I'll add it below as well.
Okay. So it's the Blue Tansy Bunch on Instagram, and then Ashley Aho on Facebook. But there are a few Ashley Ahos, so don't just message any random Ashley Aho because she might not know what you're talking about.
Like what?
But yeah, the Blue Tansy Bunch on Instagram. So
perfect. Thank you. We'll link that below so people can connect with you if they want to. So thank you again, and I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
While this episode of Grieving Moms Podcast is over, you can join me and other grieving mothers in my free Facebook group to continue conversations of all things life after child loss. Go to www.meganhillica.com/community to join us there. If you like this podcast, could you please share it with other grieving mothers so that they can also find hope in life after loss and to know that they are never alone.